إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. All praises due to Allah. We praise and we thank Him. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and from the consequences of our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever He allows to stray, no one can guide. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah. He's alone without any partners. And I testify that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. Let us start this gathering of ours by sending peace and blessings upon our beloved and blessed messenger. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Innaka hamidun majid. We ask you, Allah, to bless the messenger Muhammad, to elevate his mention and to shower him with grace along with his family and all those who follow his guidance to the last day, as you did with Ibrahim and his righteous followers in the past. Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. In the messenger of God is a great example for all of you to follow, a great role model. One of the main aspects of his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his tradition, and the subject is his tradition, his sunnah, and his sunnah is his statements, his actions, his approvals, and his characteristics, alayhi salatu wasalam. One of the most important aspects of that is his moderation, alayhi salatu wasalam. He was moderate in every single aspect of life. And when we speak about moderation, the opposite of that is to go into extremes and to be in excess, one way or the next. When they speak about extremes, extremes are two-sided. Usually we only get one side of the story with extremism. So extremists are those fundamentalists, but we don't speak about the other extreme who may be completely away from guidance. Now both of these things are wrong, no doubt about it. But the middle path is in between. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, this is what he taught. He taught a message that's between ghulu, which is to be excessive, and between jafa, which is to turn away and to completely forsake and be negligent. Between ifrat and tafrit, again, being extreme one way and being negligent the next. So he was right in the middle, alayhi salatu wasalam. One thing that's amazing about him is in his creation, Allah chose him to be moderate in his proportions, the way he was created. He's described, alayhi salatu wasalam, in his characteristics and his shama'il as, كَانَ رِبْعَةً مِنَ الرِّجَالِ. He was of medium posture. He was not too tall and he was not too short. So even the way Allah created him, because again, the messengers of Allah, وَاصْطَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي, as Allah said about Musa, I molded you for my own self. And likewise with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was molded by the divine. So Allah chose everything about him because he is a role model for all of humanity, for all times and all places, even in his creation. Now we cannot imitate the way he was made, and there is nothing wrong about somebody being tall or somebody being short. But there is a point here. The way he was made, the way he was designed, the way he was created, the way he appeared before his people. His hair, for example, is described. It wasn't too curly and it wasn't straight. It had a wave in it. These intricate details that the scholars have preserved for us in the way he appeared, alayhi salatu wasalam. His skin tone, his skin color, and then his appearance generally. The way he dressed was, you could not tell him apart. Usually, even in our day today, people who are learned, as you see, we wear a certain uniform sometimes, right? Traditionally, clergy wear a certain uniform. But the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, you would come in into a gathering, you would not tell him apart. And the strangers would come and say, which amongst you is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam? Moving on to something that he taught. He taught moderation in beliefs, alayhi salatu wasalam. So let's take, for example, the belief in Jesus, the Christ, alayhi salatu wasalam, our beloved messenger, Isa ibn Maryam. The Prophet ﷺ came to take a middle path between two categories of people. A category that rejected him and called him an imposter, called him names, called his mother foul names, and a group that was too excessive in honoring him and then giving him divine attributes, giving him share of divinity. The Prophet ﷺ was straight in the middle. And his order was from Allah, which he relayed to the people of the scripture, يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ. O people of the scripture, do not go one extreme or the other when it comes to matters of religion. Stay the middle path. Stay in the middle. In worship, عليه الصلاة والسلام, we're told, he would worship Allah so much in the nighttime that his feet would swell. And medically, if you stand up for a long period of time, your feet are going to swell. And some of the companions and his wife would ask him, why are you doing this when we know that you've been forgiven? Why are you doing this to yourself? So he says, should I not be a grateful servant? Yet, he was specific in certain regulations. So when he heard about a group of his companions, and this is one of the stories that we always hear about, a group of his companions came over checking on him. They came to his wives and they inquired, tell us about the Prophet's life. How does he worship God? What does he do? How does he fast? All these devotional acts of worship. When they heard, they said, he's not doing much. And the description is, كَأَنَّهُمْ تَقَالُّهَا. It is almost like they underestimated it. They saw it as very little. And then they said, well, that's the messenger of God. He's been forgiven already. He has salvation. We don't have to necessarily follow his example. So one of them said, as for me, I'm going to stand up every single night in prayer, and I'm never going to sleep and rest my body. Now, when they say I'm going to stand up in prayer at night, this means that he wasn't going to sleep in the daytime either. Because some people may pray at night all night, and then due to being extreme, they miss the next day. But that individual was saying, I'm never going to sleep. I'm not going to relax. The next one said, I'm going to fast forever. I'm going to observe abstaining from food and drink and marital relations forever. I'm never going to break my fast. The third one says, I'm never going to marry women. I'm not going to have any intimacy. So the messenger heard about them, and this was one of his traditions. He would check on his community individually and collectively. And that's the point behind community, is we check on one another, especially those in leadership. When you see someone that's missing, he hasn't been there for some time, go and check on him. What happened, especially in this environment and this atmosphere that we're talking about, people kind of becoming marginalized. People are leaving the flock. Well, whose responsibility is the flock? The responsibility of leaders, those who've been given this God-given responsibility. So the messenger said, where are these people that were checking on me, right? They're checking on me and how I behave. So he was informed about them, and he came up to them. He's like, is what I heard correct? Did the message that was the message that was relayed to me correct? Because the messenger does not go and attack people upon false reports. He has to confirm. Just like Sulaiman alayhi salam, when the bird came to him reporting about Queen Sheba, Sulaiman didn't say, I'm going to take that and send them an army and really tell them what's up. Sulaiman alayhi salam says, سَنَنْظُرُ أَصَدَقْتَ أَمْ كُنْتَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. We're going to check, we're going to confirm whether you're truthful or you're one of those who lie. And likewise, the messenger alayhi salam inquired, come up, tell me what you guys have. And sure enough, they admitted, they said, this is what we said. He says, I declare to you that I am the one who knows God the most. And I have the most consciousness of God. I have the most taqwa. I prevent myself from God's punishment by doing what he commands and staying away from what he forbids. I do so in the utmost of perfection. And yet, I pray and I go to sleep. I fast and I eat. And I marry women. Whoever turns from my tradition is not one of me. Now you may have seen this and he's like, well, these people are trying to do something good, man. Why are you trying to prevent them from worship, from drawing nearer to their Lord? Because they went in excess. They went to an extreme measure. Now, the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam also taught us moderation in earning. We know that he worked for himself alayhi salatu wasalam. He actually was a shepherd. Everyone knows that story. And then he was a businessman, correct? And throughout his life, he would work and serve himself, we are told. And he was actually in the affairs of his family. كان في مهنة أهله. Where he's described that he would be in the service of his family, of his household. So again, he's telling people, he's showing them an example. He did not say, you know what, I'm a messenger, let me just take the time off and other people will just help me out. He actually taught people through example, personal accountability, and financial responsibility. In teaching and correcting people, just like we just learned about how he taught these people, it really depended on the time and the place. We can't teach all people the same way. People have different personalities. People have different levels of intellect, of understanding. One time, a new companion who had just learned about the prayer and he heard something nice. When someone sneezes, what do you tell him? Someone sneezes. Yarhamukallah. God bless you. God have mercy on you, right? So in the prayer, they're praying and someone sneezes. And this companion says, Yarhamukallah. And everyone in the prayer is like, what? What are you doing? And he said, he's describing the scene. Check out the imagery. He said, they were looking at me so sharply that I wish that my mother never gave birth to me. I wish I wasn't even there. And then he says, what did I do? So not only did he say a prayer, he started speaking, regular speech. And then they started clapping. Cut it off. Okay, anyway, the prayer is over. The service is over. The Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, being the beautiful teacher that he was, he does his adhkar, he does whatever he has to do. And then he says, where is that person that prayed for his brother during the service? And he was informed who it is. So he brought him over. And the same man is describing the way he was corrected. He says, he was not violent with me. He did not abuse me. He did not mock me. He did not shake me. He was the most beautiful of teachers. So all he told him was, this prayer service of ours is simply dedicated to the remembrance of Allah. Everything that's outside of it, we don't do. Remember the Bedouin that decided to take a leak in the masjid? Just imagine with our nice carpets today, some brand new person, non-Muslim, he comes inside and he doesn't know where the bathroom is because we have a problem putting up signs. And he just decides to say, this is a nice corner, let me take a leak. What would we do to him? If you don't kill him, somebody's gonna kill you, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw this man taking a leak and he told the companions, now they're all getting angry, this is a pure place, a sacred place, this is the house of God, they wanted to jump him. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, leave him alone. The description says, let him finish completely, every last drop. Okay, and they're like, why? Well, the explanation comes later. So he lets them finish. Then he brings them up and he says, look, man, you know this place? It's simply dedicated to the worship of God. So anything else, we do it outside of this place. And the man was so happy. Now the scholars, when they say what the Prophet did was, he didn't want to cause this man extra stress. He's already a stranger. And he also didn't want to cause him a health difficulty, because when you withhold your urine, you're going to have problems. And you got to have to visit the urologist. Right? Your kidneys are going to have issues. And more than that, you're going to leak all over the place. Like when a child wets their diaper, let them stay where they are. If you chase after them, you're going to have to clean the house. Okay? So the same thing. He said, simply put, just drop a pitcher, drop a bucket of water on top of it, and it will purify it. So he was a beautiful teacher who taught moderation even in correcting people. At the same time, with certain companions, Mu'adh, this is a very famous story that talks about moderation. Mu'adh would pray, radiyallahu anhu, again, a scholar of the companions. He would pray in congregation with the messenger and then go out to his neighborhood. It's like if we have like a famous qari, mashallah, like the IOK brothers, and you pray behind them and you want to say, you know what, let me practice my recitation back in my hood. I mean, it's difficult for me because it's 40 miles. I would have to pray Fajr, not pray the same prayer. So he would pray Isha. And then he would go to his neighborhood and lead his people in prayer, and he was practicing his recitation. He would pray behind the Prophet, then go to his folks. And one time he prayed and he recited Surah Al-Baqarah. Does anyone know what that is? Chapter of the cow. It's the longest chapter in the Quran. Very long. About 50 pages. So one of the people, he said, man, I have to have an exit strategy. He decided to leave the prayer behind the prayer leader and pray on his own and go home, call it a night. When Mu'adh heard it, he says, this is a sign of hypocrisy. Shame on him. The Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, who did he bring over? He brought over Mu'adh, the scholar, the learned individual. And he told him, what happened? He says, this is what happened and this is what the man did. The Prophet said, أفتان أنت يا معاذ. Are you testing people? Are you making it difficult on people? He said, recite short chapters. Because he said, some people are coming back from work. Just like when we have the Friday service. We shouldn't take forever. Whenever people are coming and taking time out, we should be considerate of their times. There is a time where we can have a long gathering and speak all we want. Like today, we have a whole conference on a weekend. But when people have other things to do, be considerate of people's times and be nice and kind and gentle with them. He said, people may be in need. People may be in difficulties. Maybe they're in distress. So recite something that is short. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So again, while correcting people, he chose how to correct them and to speak to different people according to their levels. His balance, his moderation, alayhi salatu wasalam, was in the faith that he preached, in his beliefs. He also was moderate in his worship. He was moderate in his transactions with people, with his joking, with his attitude and demeanor. He's called, and this is what you want to look for when somebody is guiding you spiritually. كان معتدل المزاج عليه الصلاة والسلام. His temper, his attitude, his frame of mind, his disposition naturally was constantly moderate. So we are told that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he laughed, he would be happy, but he would never make a loud sound. He wouldn't say, ha, 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 ha. That's how it's described. The inside of his mouth would not be seen. When he would be happy, he would smile. His teeth would show. He never lost control due to anger. When they describe him in his shama'il, when the Prophet was upset about something, he would simply show it on his face. He would show disapproval. We surely show disapproval, but maybe with a hand or a stick or something worse, right? Disapproval in the face, I'm not happy about that. When food would be presented to him, he wouldn't complain about it. He would simply say, if he likes it, he would eat. If he doesn't like it, he would leave it be. He didn't say, this stinks, this is not good, and so forth. Moderation, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So in his statements, in his actions, in the things that he approved, and in his personal characteristics, alayhi salatu wasalam. Something that stands out. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had honor, he had izzah. And the believers are supposed to have izzah. Izzah is honor, not to be confused with arrogance and pride. And his izzah, again, was straight in the middle between kibr and between humility. Humility to other people. He was not humiliated. He never allowed himself to be humiliated. And at the same time, he was never arrogant. So when he told people about himself, he says, أنا سيد ولد آدم ولا فخر. I am the leader of the children of Adam, because this is God's role for him. But he says, and I show no pride and no arrogance in that. It's simply a blessing that I have been given from God. The other thing he did was being generous. Being generous. So he's showing us, we covered some things in religion, right? In rituals. Being generous, the Prophet was not in one of the two extremes. What are the two extremes with generosity? You're either miserly and you hold back. The description in the Quran is like you're choking yourself, you're holding your hand all the way down to your neck, and it's not really a literal meaning, but it could be understood that way. So you're completely miserly, or the next thing is you're reckless in your spending. You don't keep account, you don't follow up, you just waste your money. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that God, and it's in the Quran, who are the mubadhirin? Inna al-mubadhirina كانوا إخوان الشياطين. Those who waste, who do things in excess, are the brethren of devils and demons. We ask Allah's protection from that. When it came to being brave, the Messenger ﷺ was the epitome of humanity when it came to him being brave. He was not reckless and he was not cowardly. When things mattered, he would stand up, whether it was the battle or to speak against someone who's oppressing or so forth. But he was not reckless, so he studied and he researched before he made any moves. This type of balance allows you to balance and to keep fair and even with your obligations and your responsibilities. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our scholars have preserved everything about his life. We know that he was the leader of the state, a political leader, a general of the army, a teacher of the community, a judge, a counselor, a therapist, a father, a husband, a grandfather, a friend, a companion. Every single facet of life is covered in his blessed life, alayhi salatu wasalam. Everything in that, he showed moderation. So with moderation, what it gives you is a proof and a guarantee that you're not going to overburden yourself. You're not going to, what's the word? When you overdose, you're not going to burn out, but you're also going to stay consistent. And that's why he said, the most beloved deeds to your Lord are those that are most consistent, even if they may be a few. His prayer is described in congregation. When he prayed alone, he would prolong. But كانت صلاته قصداً. This is the word, قصد in Arabic. I want you to remember that word. قصد is to be moderate. His prayer was moderate in congregation. وكانت خطبته قصداً. Also when he gave a speech, his sermon was moderate. It was not too lengthy. And in fact, he said it's a sign of the scholars when they give a sermon that their prayer is long, the salah is long, and the sermon is short. The speech of Allah is long and the speech of man is short. He would also be selective in whenever he would advise them. So al-maw'idha. He wouldn't spend every single day and tell them, look, I have a khatira for you guys. Let me remind you of God. He would do it every once in a while for two reasons. Again, a balance. Number one, not to bore them to death, because like, here we go, the sheikh is speaking again, right? The second thing is, so their hearts would not be hardened, and he would always remind them and bring them closer to Allah. When he would eat, alayhi salatu wasalam, he was moderate, and he told his community, the worst container that you could fill is your stomach. And if it's necessary for you to fill it with something, then give it one third for food. We all know the one third issue, right? And then each one of us says, hey man, I know what my third is. Worry about your one third. It's like, one third, brother, one third, sister. No, I'm still on like one quarter. I still got some room, right? The Prophet said, it's the worst container to be filled. And if it's necessary for you to put something in it, then be selective in what you put in it. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Another story, and this is what I'm gonna stop with, inshallah ta'ala. Talking about community again and what the Prophet approved. Two companions that were partnered up, Abu Darda and Salman al-Farisi. So we know about the Prophet partnering up believers, and basically they were buddies and they were mentors to one another. Salman was older and more advanced in knowledge. One time he visits his brother Abu Darda, who was out of the house. He sees the wife, al-Darda. He's familiar with the household and he sees her, she's wearing raggedy clothing. And he says, sister, what's wrong? She's like, I have no complaints about your brother, but he has no desire for this material life. He says, okay, I'm gonna get to the bottom of this. Abu Darda comes back and he offers him food. Here, Salman, I have food for you. He says, aren't you eating? He's like, no, I'm fasting. He's like, break your fast. He makes him break his fast. One. The next thing, they go to sleep. Abu Darda wants to pray at night. Salman's like, go to bed, go to your wife. He's like, I wanna pray. He's like, go to bed. He goes to sleep. He wakes up and tries to be sneaky and pray again. Salman tells him, go to bed. And then in the last third of the night, he tells them, okay, let's get up and pray together. Abu Darda is upset. He takes him to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Before that though, Salman told him something. He says, give every person and everything in your life its proper rights. Allah has rights over you. Your wife has rights over you. Your visitors have rights over you. Your neighbors have rights over you. فَأَعْطِ كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقَّ. Give to everyone their due right. Now, Abu Darda still wasn't pleased. He goes and he reports him to the messenger. I'm going to tell on you. This is positive tattletelling. He goes to the messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, and the messenger says, Sadaqa Salman. Salman spoke the truth. This is a way that the messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, approved of something that took place in his lifetime. One of his prayers, alayhi salatu wasalam, was, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-qasda fil rida wal-ghadab. Moderation, whether you're angry or upset. Al-qasda fil ghina wal-faqr. Moderation when you're rich and when you're in poverty. And he asked Allah to bless him, and he would give these combinations. Aslih lana deenana alladhi huwa ismatu amrina. Fix our religious affairs, which is what's going to save us in the next life and provide us with salvation. Wa aslih lana dunyana allati fiha ma'ashuna. Rectify our material life, which we are living in. And that's the prayer that I'm going to end up with. moderation in the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We can spend hours on end. Let us take him as our example and our role model alayhi salatu wasalam. And with that, let's conclude with durood. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Bless your messenger Muhammad, shower him with grace, elevate his rank, honor him, compliment him, and raise his rank along with his family and his followers up to the last day, as you did with Ibrahim and his righteous followers in the past. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.